So some big statements from our two main political parties on the Nolan Live programme last night. It is on the iPlayer, of course, if you want to watch it, bbc.co.uk/Nolan Live. First, the DUP's Nelson McCausland, he admitted that nobody knows if there will be a hard border with the Republic as a result of Brexit, but he said he didn't care as long as he's out of Europe.
The fact is that it is now over to the United Kingdom government and for our executive when it gets back and functioning in due course, although how soon that will be is another matter.
But in principle, practically, even practically, how can you have a soft border with the customs implications of that?
Whether there is whatever sort of border there is, the fact is we're going to be out of Europe and I welcome that.
So you think there'll be a hard border?
I'm not saying what sort of border there'll be because I don't know. Neither do you.
Are you telling me, Nelson, you told people to leave Europe? Without knowing whether there would be a soft or hard border.
People, I wouldn't care what sort of situation I face as long as I'm out of Europe.
Then later, Sinn Féin's Martin O'Muir said that after the next election, he would be prepared to vote for a unionist party in the future.
See yourself in your lifetime ever voting for a unionist party, second or third preference votes?
I'd like to take them one election at a time.
Please answer the question.
I actually, if they're for a Stirling,
so you like to present yourself, Martin, don't you, as progressive and you're for all. So it's a pretty relevant question. Yeah. If you looked at a unionist politician and you thought, you know what, I like what their policy is rather than the colour of their underpants, would you vote for them?
If you find me a unionist politician who's against Brexit and who's against the Stirling, then you might have me hooked.
OK, even if they were a unionist?
Absolutely.
030 30 80 55 55. Let's talk about this with the political commentators Alex Kane and Seamus Close. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Vinny.
Alex,
morning, Alex.
Alex, are you surprised from Martin's statement?
Well, it was so heavily caveated. And good morning, Vinny and Seamus. It was so heavily caveated because he said, first of all, find me a unionist who's anti-Brexit. And you think, well, there you go, that's the Ulster Unionist sorted. And they go, but it's not linked to austerity. And I'm not sure the Ulster Unionists would say they are particularly linked to austerity. And also, Sinn Féin has been sitting in government for quite a few years with a DUP which is very closely tied to the Conservative Party, the very government which Sinn Féin accuses of promoting austerity. It did seem odd as well, bearing in mind that Sinn Féin for the past few years have been running this reconciliation project, reach-out project, you know, building a good relationship with unionism, looking forward, whether it's 10 or 20 years, to building a reconciled people across Ireland, that he found it so difficult to actually say the words, well, actually, yeah, I can very easily think of circumstances when we've talked, we've looked at things, we've sorted things out. Yeah, I look forward to the day when I can look down a ballot paper and not worry too much about orange or green. It was nowhere close to that, Vinny.
But is there any change at all into their stance, say, for what it would have been 10, 15 years ago?
I don't think so. That's the whole thing. That doesn't surprise me because at the heart of what has dogged Mike Nesbitt in the past week is, this isn't just like, you know, vote Conservative and then maybe vote Liberal Democrat or something like that. This is you're actually asking people to vote for two complete opposites at heart. You're actually saying they're a unionist, vote unionist, and then if you really like, you think if you prefer the SDLP to Sinn Féin, vote SDLP. But you're still asking them to vote for a party whose very existence is the anathema and mutual contradiction of what they stand for in terms of the union. So, no, I can understand the difficulty there. And I think if Nesbitt had sold the thing better about what he was trying to do, it might have been easier. But to ask a Sinn Féin, anyone in Sinn Féin or anyone in the DUP, to vote for their parties, you know, the opposite party, I just don't see that as being a runner at any stage. And it's nothing to do with sectarianism or hatred of each other, Vinny. It's to do with a much more complex thing about identity, who they think they are and who they want to be.
Well, Seamus, do you think the comments that Martin did make, would that influence a potential Sinn Féin voter one way or the other?
No, I don't think so. I think that I would agree with Alex. I mean, it was essentially the rhetoric last night was same old, same old. The whole debates were concentrated and dominated in many respects by DUP Sinn Féin, all of them giving opposite views virtually to all of the questions that were posed. And the other thing that struck me about it was the body language of predominantly those two parties. There was this air of superiority, you know, the arms folded, the hand up to the mouth, the whole arrogance and superiority that seemed to come through in the body language, and that was reflected in much of what they said, much of their language. So to expect any dramatic change, I think we'd be living in cloud cuckoo land.
What about people that might suggest this is a little inkling that politics is normalising here in Northern Ireland?
Well, define normalising. Same old, same old. Do you want more of the same? Is that considered to be normality? I think that's part of the problem. I think there's a lot of people out there fear that normality is voting for their side and voting against the other side for so many years. In fact, you could say nearly for generations, that has been considered to be normal in Northern Ireland politics. What some parties are saying, look, we need to change, we need to get away from that type of perception of the past. We need to change, we need to bring in new politics. Now, there were attempts by some of the parties to move towards that agenda. But, you know, Northern Ireland is Northern Ireland, and I think those of us like Alex and myself who have been in this game for a long time could virtually predict the type of outcome that's going to happen next Thursday, even down to the number of seats.
Do you think, was he suggesting that Brexit and austerity are more important now than a United Ireland?
Their positions on Brexit, I think, were very, very clear on black and white. Sinn Féin looked on it nearly as saying, well, although there's been a vote saying we come out, Northern Ireland voted by 56% it should stay in, that he, and presumably they, Sinn Féin, have been to Brussels, so we need special status, we need the single market. You know, we can change this. Whereas the DUP's attitude was, look, we've voted, we're out, that's it. And I suppose the line that you used in your intro to the programme was one of the, I suppose, clumsy type of comments coming from Nelson McCausland, where he said, you know, that he didn't really care. And he was jumped on by the SDLP, by Claire Hannah, saying this is their sort of scorched earth policy. Well, he doesn't really care. So where that goes in Sinn Féin mentality with regard to unity of Ireland, I don't think one surpasses the other. I think they see them being interlocked, intertwined.
Alex, have you ever heard the likes of Sinn Féin saying in the past that they would be potentially prepared to vote for a unionist party, even if it is in the future and not in the now?
That assumes, Vinny, that Martin even came close to that yesterday. I'm not sure that he did. It was so heavily caveated. And so it goes back to the issue. I said, I don't condemn. I can understand why unionists could never cross the line to Sinn Féin or SDLP and why Sinn Féin SDLP could never cross the line to unions. I can fully understand that, because when you have a PR system, it's quite possible that changing across the line could actually cost unionist seats or could cost nationalist seats. And since, as you will know, it's all zero-sum politics here, who's got the most seats, who's got the overall percentage, because in Sinn Féin's term and with the SDLP, this is about looking what at their margin. Have they gone up from 41% to 44%? Does it make the likelihood of a border poll any more interesting? And in terms of this, you know, cross-voting, the one really big thing that's going to matter in this election, it is quite possible. My hunch is that it won't happen this time, but it is quite possible.
Okay.
On March the 3rd, we will emerge with an assembly in which unionists do not actually have an overall majority. That will change the psychological and political dynamics of Northern Ireland politics.
Stay there for a second, Alex and Seamus. Let's listen to the clip of marching on the programme again last night.
If you find me a unionist politician who's against Brexit and who's against austerity, then you might have me hooked.
OK, even if they were a unionist?
Absolutely.
So, Seamus, if they and obviously they're going to have caveats, they're going to have things that they want them to sort of fall into line with their own views and their own policies. Is there any sense of progression there?
Well, I think he was being quite specific. He was referring specifically to Brexit. So if you carry that on to the next election in a few years, is he still going to be using the Brexit argument for saying this is the reason why I wouldn't transfer to unionism? I have a big question about that. I just can't see it happening. Now, I do accept that Sinn Féin have moved and have moved quite a lot over this past number of years. I can recall speaking to them many, many years ago, and they wouldn't contemplate going into a power-sharing executive. They wouldn't contemplate having a government, an administration up in Stormont. They wouldn't contemplate lots of things which they are now doing.
So you could interpret that statement from Martin last night as a move, as a fairly significant change.
But it was caveat it in...
Of course it was, but he's not going to say, no matter what your policies are, no matter what your party wants to do, yes, because you're a unionist party, I'll give you my vote.
No, but what I'm saying is, because he referred it and hung it specifically on the whole Brexit issue, that makes it difficult to read further into it and exactly what he was meaning. Now, I do concede that over the years Sinn Féin have changed, but their war is a long war, a long tactical, strategic war, and they will do what is necessary to end up with the result that they want, which is unity of this island.
OK. Lawrence is on the line from Satanfield. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Morning, Vinnie. I watched the programme last night. For to be people looking to be elected as politicians, it was completely ridiculous. The Yale, the whole thing, and the Ulster Unions Party, SDLP Alliance, they're yelling, vote for us, vote for change, we'll change things. How can they change anything when they don't even run enough candidates to become the leading party? There's not one of them has enough candidates that they become the leading party.
Will you
so
change?
How are they going to change anything?
Will you change how you vote, Lawrence, from last time, given what's happened in the last few months?
There's none of them parties that was on last night. I wouldn't give them a vote. Definitely.
Why not?
Because they're completely useless. Same old thing, yell. Philip Smith, every time he opens his mouth, RHI, RHI. Why doesn't he tell us what policies the unions parties have? Instead of turning around and saying, you know, he's done this. We all know the RHI, there's an investigation into it. So they can do nothing with that until the investigation's finished.
So what do you want from your politicians, Lawrence? What do you want that's different from what's gone in the past?
And work and get the National Health Service sorted, get roads, education sorted. What are they doing? All they're doing is bickering, fighting with each other.
Well, does religion matter to you? Does the United Ireland or part of the UK matter?
Friends, religion matters nothing to me, so it doesn't. And the turnaround and the way that they carry on, and Nesle McCausland, they were talking about the Democratic Unions couldn't vote for this or vote for that because it was against their religious views. Well, they were quite honest. No true Christian would be a politician, because they're sitting telling lies left, right and centre.
Well, now, of course, they would all deny that they're telling lies and that they're just telling the truth as they see it. But also, Lawrence, so people... As Stephen pointed out last night, people are voting for and have in the past for the DUP partly down to their policies, and some of them are, of course, affected by their religious beliefs. So that's why they're wanting to put them in as their representative.
Well, then if the religious beliefs are so uptight about the religious beliefs, why don't they read their Bible and come out? It says in the Bible, love thy neighbour. So it does. You know, the way they're going on, they love nobody, only themselves. And the only thing that they do love is the big salary they're on and their big expenses claims.
Well, of course, people could say there's many bigger salaries you could be going for, but you sound a bit disheartened, Lawrence. Are you going to vote at all?
I'd be very doubtful if you see me near a polling station.
But is that going to help either, if you aren't going to use your vote?
Well, if I do go to vote, I'll be voting all the independents.
Okay. Lawrence, thank you. Bill in Belfast, go ahead, Bill.
Morning, Vinnie.
Morning.
I'm absolutely blew away by Nelson McCausland's speech. I sat and watched a programme on, I think it was from Westminster, where a CEO of a major company with 2,000 employees, given the reason why he is opening a big branch in the Irish Republic because they're in Europe. And the way he was talking, no clear way to go. I can't run a business like that. Of 2,000 workers, I don't want to go. But if I have to, I'm getting ready to, because my customers won't wait 2 years on a decision. And possibly this firm business, this could be the first of many that has to uproot and go south, because that's where their future is, in Europe or even further afield, Romania. And Nelson McCausland says, I don't care. Now, we all know there's 2,000 people working in this company, Amex. And I'm sure they care this morning when they heard their CEO.
Almac, I think you're referring to.
Almac.
Let's play that clip from Nelson on the programme again last night.
Whatever sort of border there is, the fact is we're going to be out of Europe, and I welcome that. I'm not saying what sort of border there will be, because I don't know.
Are you surprised that he doesn't know? Stephen seems surprised that, given the campaigning that they did at the time for Brexit, that now there are more questions than we would have thought.
Well, the whole thing is, if you take it as the businessman did last night, he just says, I can't wait. I have people I have businesses have been on to me saying, we need an answer, and an answer now, or else we go elsewhere where to outsource what you're selling us. And he had to make a decision. 1 week after the election, he bought a premises in Dundalk. But my question is, how many more is going to be like that? Because he's not the only one. And he said he didn't want his lorries opened and getting contaminated, that was his words, at border crossings when they were stopped. So he knows there's going to be a hard border.
Well,
he
that's knows. And you referred to Almac earlier, the Craigavon-based pharmaceutical firm, and they told the Commons Committee that its decision to buy a factory in the Republic of Ireland, of course, was as a direct result of the Brexit vote.
That's correct.
Alex, do you think, is this an initial suggestion from the DUP that there may indeed be a hard border?
Well, I did think of all the stuff that was talked last night, Vinny, I think that was the most extraordinary, because if you go back a few months... I think it was a joint letter by Martin McGuinness and Arlene Foster to Theresa May, I think 2 or 3 weeks after she became Prime Minister, which was actually quite a well-constructed, it acknowledged that both Sinn Féin and DUP were coming to this from different angles, but they wanted something that was good for Northern Ireland, good for Ireland, good for the UK. Suddenly, last night, and certainly it's worth bearing in mind, unless I'm very much mistaken, during the referendum, the DUP leading figures were saying that they thought some arrangement would be reached, that it shouldn't be assumed that there would be a hard border, that there'd probably be some arrangement which the EU could underwrite and so on. Suddenly, Nelson's position, if it's the official party position, and I don't know if it is, seems to be, I don't care. Don't care what happens. As long as we're out.
Exactly. Brexit.
Stuff,
yeah. Let's play that again as well. Brexit, worth it at any price.
I wouldn't care what sort of situation I face as long as I'm out of Europe.
Seamus?
Yes, as I've already said, I think that was probably the boob of the night, as they say. To give that impression, to suggest that you don't care what the outcome is.
Well, I don't know if he was suggesting he didn't care, so to speak, but almost that it was worth it at any cost. That being out of Europe, out of the EU, was worth it because of the benefits that we will see at some point, although the details around that seem very vague as well at this point.
Yeah, basically what he was saying was, look, the negotiations, Article 50 is to be triggered. We need to have negotiations. There will be negotiations. At this point in time, it's all just speculation. In many respects about that, he is correct. There's a lot of speculation going on, and as there was before the referendum, there was scaremongering on both sides. So you sort of toss a coin at this point in time, and you take your pick. What the ultimate outcome will be, nobody really knows. But I do not believe that it is going to be a hard border. I do not believe that business wants to see and would sustain and put up with a hard border. And I do not believe that any of the politicians in Northern Ireland, be the DUP, Sinn Féin, Ulster Unionist Alliance or whatever, would want to see a hard border. And I think that's going to be the position that will be put forward, hopefully with the backing of the Prime Minister. There's reference to the Scots coming on board, this type of thing. But, you know, the type of scaremongering that goes on doesn't give anyone any hope.
OK, Tom in Banbridge. Good morning, Tom.
How you doing, Vinny?
Not bad. Go ahead.
$22 billion in to Europe, $8.6 billion out of Europe, 37, I think it is. But anyway, difference between import and export to Europe on it. There's a 6.6 billion difference in favour of Europe into the UK. Where is 14 billion every year going to? I asked this question before on the Nolan show. The gentleman there said he didn't know. What's your panel's answer to it?
What do you reckon, Alex?
Sorry, was that Tom?
There was Tom, indeed.
Yes, sir. Tom, yes, it's the key point, Tom, because that's the whole point, and Nelson McCausland admitted it yesterday. I think even Martin said much the same thing. None of us, whether you are pro or anti-Brexit, none of us actually know. And it's the key question, all is the DUP and Sinn Féin, who I think will come back as the lead parties and will have to form a government at some stage, are going to have to reach some sort of arrangement, because there is so much money coming from the European Union, we don't know whether it's going to be made up, because I can tell you this. The notion that Arlene and Michelle are going to run over to the Chancellor of the Exchequer in 2 or 3 years' time and say, oh, by the way, when you're doing everything else,
can you knock another £2 or 3 billion over to Northern Ireland? Yeah, that's not going to happen. Like, that can't be their pitch. Indeed, it seemed to be even the Ulster Unionist Party pitch yesterday. Somebody needs to give us some more money. We need a plan. We need a full understanding of the economy. And it's one thing that really does disturb me, Vinny. Disturbed me right the way through the Brexit debate and going back a couple of years ago. No one at the top of politics in Northern Ireland, in terms of active politics, seems to me to actually have a coherent strategy or understanding of funding streams, where money comes from, what do you do, how do you make it up, how do you, we're not just talking about, you know, a year, we're talking about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. None of them last night, not one of them from any of the parties, actually had hard figures on any of the economics of this. And whether they want to stay in, whether they want to leave, that actually, oddly enough, is, I think, the most, one of the most disturbing things that emerged from last night, that the five key parties, who may or may not form the next executive, don't, as my, by my reading of it, actually have a clue about the real economics.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that not then terrify you, the thought of that?
One of the, right, look, the executive doesn't have a joint paper in this. It has a nice letter to Theresa May. The DUP haven't issued a single paper. The Sinn Féin paper is tied in with the grand United Ireland project and so on. But in terms of Northern Ireland, how Northern Ireland survives outside the European Union, the specific relationship Northern Ireland would have with the rest of GB and with the Republic of Ireland, I think, find me that. Anyone out there who has seen that document or has that document or who can give me a link to that document, I would be grateful, because I have no idea what the parties actually think in real terms.
Okay, and of course, when it comes to the EU, we pay, Tom, we pay money in the hope that we can then make use of, say, for example, a single market, and then there's trade and there's benefits and advantages from that. For, you know, the Leave campaigners, they claim that we paid, what, $350 million a week, and that works out, it's $18 billion a year. But then, of course, you get EU payments, and they come, they're funneled through the government. So there are benefits, Tom, of being in there.
That doesn't answer the question.
No, it doesn't. But what, in terms of the hard border, Tom, hold on a second, Tom. No, hold on a wee second, Tom. Just let me finish my question, and I'll let you come back. In terms of a hard border, do you care about that or not? Are you bothered either way?
There's not a chance of that happening. And everybody's saying that it's not happening. Only one particular...
Nelson said last night he didn't know.
No, they don't know where the $14 billion is going. If I was running my business like that, or our business like that, how would you ever survive? How, I'm asking the people that are saying to remain in, especially the business people, and I know quite a few of them, and they're all saying the same as me, where is $14 billion going? You know, it's the pound in your pocket. And you're saying there, there's other benefits. There would other benefits would be created if we had £14 billion every year to invest.
Of course, though, Tom, as well, that is a fraction of the UK's economy on a whole.
Sorry,
that's a fraction of what we spend, of what is spent throughout the UK. So, of course, people who want to remain say that the benefits, you know, quite often outweigh the negatives.
We import more than we export from the EU. £6.6 billion.
Okay, all right, Tom, thank you. Connor and Ballanderry, go ahead.
Hello there, how are you doing, boys? Well, I'm voting and again this time, and for the first time ever, I'm going to vote Sinn Féin first. But my next preference will be going to the Ulster Unionist Party.
Why?
Well, I don't agree with the SDLP's policies, and I would rather vote, I believe in using most of my ballot, so the SDLP will be near the last. And honest to God, I think there's a lot of people out there that are keeping their vote quiet, like Brexit, because they don't want to admit that they're going to vote for other parties. But I think there could be a change this time. I think there's more people out there than you.
A significant swing, do you think?
I think it could be a swing. I don't know if there'll be enough of a swing, but I still believe that there's a lot of people out there just not saying that they're prepared to vote for an Islamist party or a Unionist party. But I definitely will this time. Now, I just have a disagreement with some of the SDLP's policies. And
what part of their policies do you not agree with?
But it'll be the first time I'll be voting for a Unionist party.
So what is it with the SDLP that you don't agree with?
Their stance on abortion. I don't like them, that they're forcing women that have fatal abnormalities to go through with their birth. I don't like that, so I won't be. I won't be voting for them.
Okay, Connor, thank you. William in Belfast, go ahead, William.
Good morning, Vinny. Vinny, isn't it terrible we're going to leave this utopian, all singing, dancing Europe where half of France want to leave it, where Greece is on its knees, the Euro's on its knees, 46% in Austria wanted to believe it, and the far right is raising in hell. Imagine wanting to leave that wonderful place. Where is everybody here? Where is it? I hate to mention Trump, but even Trump thinks it's a good idea. Suppose that's going against my argument here. You think of the 5 million Irish people who work in England are saying, we better go home. Britain's leaving the European Union. Yes, you're all full of it, absolutely full of it. You just want to open your eyes to what's happening in the world. And would you tell Sinn Féin and the SDLP that austerity's been here for years while we're in Europe? I mean, you also go up the shankle and find out how many people have been voting with SDLP for years. Wise up, please.
Will religion, will it play a part whenever you're deciding who you vote for, William?
Religion never plays a part for what I vote for.
It's interesting that we're hearing this morning because there is an assumption there that we all still very much vote in green and orange lines. And I know there's a difference between religion and unionism.
Nonsense. That is nonsense. And more so the
but
last...
Why is that perception there then, William? Why do you think people think that?
The one thing that we don't want to vote for is terrorists. We don't want to vote for terrorists. And you'll find out the unionist community, by and large, don't do that. We don't want ex-terrorists, any terrorists. We want, I love Jerry Fitt, I'm a unionist, I love Jerry Fitt, I love Seamus Mallon, I love John Hume. Wise up, get your eyes open.